well, you're going to call it with all these.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't even write it down now.
Then you'll get more confused if you
don't. As soon as I do it, everything will change.
Just Thursday.
Wait for the call.
Thursday. The time is Thursday at noon. Okay. I don't know where we're meeting yet. Okay. All right. Can I get everybody to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Organizational and budget hearing.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the minutes from the April 18th special meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the budget to actual reports for the month of April.
Motion.
Second. Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the payment of bills for the April 26th and May 8th abstracts.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Public comments. There's a lot tonight, so we're going to limit everybody to 5 minutes again. So the first one is Tomoko.
Thank you for your service. First, I have some questions for all the trustees. According to the mayor, at the last April village board meeting, you postponed the March trustee workshop to the next day. Did you announce the date change to the public?
I believe it was posted on the...
Yes or no?
I think we did. Because the speaker that I had coming to that workshop couldn't make it until that Thursday. So we decided to take Larry out for his last official act and see him off.
Who was the speaker?
The speaker was... the woman Jenny Seaham. She was a doctor from the doctor of psychology from New York, and she was talking about healthy housing.
So she was coming because you guys publicly announced the workshop date change.
I asked her to come to talk to us about healthy housing.
Then she doesn't have to see the public notice. No one knew here. I check the website regularly. There was no notification.
Well, there should have been. And it was posted on the door. I'm sure it was. And I know it was posted on the door.
Well, no one else saw. Anyway, the minute taker, Jessica, did you write all the detailed conversation in the last month's board meeting minutes? Yes or no?
What part are you asking about?
About the change of the workshop date in March.
Minutes don't have to include, they're not word for word.
Why not?
Because that's why we have the recordings. I mean, Rob, you come.
Yeah, minutes only have to have any motions or resolutions or actions taken by the board. It doesn't have to list or recite any discussions, opinions, or comments. Like for public comment, she can put in the minutes, we had public comment at the meeting, and that's it. She doesn't have to record who said what, when, or why. She does go further than that because it is helpful at times, but that's why we have the recordings in case she needs to go back legally.
Okay, so you didn't notice to the public. No, none of us knew who who wanted to join your public discussion on a climate smart proposal, climate smart sentiment proposal. This is an illegal practice. As a public servant, Deborah Gilman said that at the last board meeting that Fairmont has no flat lands, so we don't have to worry about solar farms to contaminate our farmlands. As a smart climate task force member from the very beginning, she must know the task force agenda is not only to install solar farms. The library's climate smart survey would cost us over $150,000 to prevent drafts from the residents to pay off in 192 years. This is just an example. Please look up about the global corporation who conducted the survey and their real aim. Everyone who learned to know what the Climate Smart Task Force has been doing, they have been very concerned with their practice with New York State. It is not free to our village at all. The New York State grants are coming out of tax money for global corporations to make more money. Nothing to do with ecology or for natural environment. There are many viewpoints on the Climate Smart Task Force's residents' life-altering agendas, and an open public discussion is needed more than ever. Your job as a public servant is to be open to different ideas, to seek the best way to take for the village residents' interest, not for the global corporation's interest. I have a last question for you. When can we have a public hearing?
What do you want a public forum? You don't want a public hearing, because a public hearing usually precedes a motion or a resolution or a local law that we're going to enact, and we don't have any, and we're not going to enact any.
Public forum for climate smart agendas.
So you want to use the hall so you can speak?
Oh, so we can do it? With the climate task force members?
If they want, I can't make anybody attend. If they want to attend, they can attend.
Yeah, sure.
But they don't have to be here. So essentially, you're going to have however many people here, and it's going to listen. There's going to be one of the group is going to speak, and that's it. It's going to be a public forum. It won't be village board may or may not attend. I can't make them attend.
Why not? It's a business concern.
I can't make them attend.
No, I mean the board members. You guys.
Somebody has to be here to open up the village hall, which will probably be me. If you want, I can give you 2 hours. You can have 2 hours. We'll do it one night. And you can, whoever shows up, shows up.
Okay, we'll think about it.
Roxanne Wilkins.
I'm not here.
No, you're not here.
Michael? You're here.
Yeah.
You're next.
Could I wait and go for the end?
I guess. Kate?
Workshop was not going to happen. I called to the office before they closed in the afternoon to confirm that. And at that time, I was not told that it wasn't canceled, but rather postponed. So I would have appreciated knowing that.
I'm almost positive that I said at that board meeting that we were moving the workshop to Thursday night, because I knew that.
Yeah. And Kate, you walked up this side, right?
Last month I did.
I'm sure.
I saw you walk up that way when we were meeting, but you didn't come to the front door. When we have the workshops, we're in the front.
Yes, but I'm talking about the March,
So were we. And I, because we had planned to take Larry out the whole time for his years of service here. And I knew that the speaker that I had coming could only make it on Thursday night. So I'm sure I announced that at that board meeting.
It is a little odd. I'm just reporting that I had called the office and I wasn't. So I wasn't privy to it. In any case, and then another difficulty for me is that since I'm one of the canaries in the mine that's putting out the alert that EMF radiation from all the gadgets, including the emission of wireless Wi-Fi in particular, and then that goes right on up to the proposed 5G, but the cordless phones and all of that, that because of I'm one of the canaries in the mine, I feel an obligation to make sure that people really know that these electrical devices, also ones that are intended to reduce energy use, any of these indoor devices, I have to be careful about how much time I would spend in an office where you've got one or more routers. When I went to the Columbia Green event, my eyes were going crazy. This stuff affects any organs in the body that have water in them. And there are countless, not countless, but like 12 routers going on in that immediate vicinity. And then everybody's cell phone is turning out. It's just becoming a more and more dangerous situation. And I say this because I would like Philmont to be a safe place for me to live. And if there are other municipalities who are waking up and smelling the vinegar and asking their boards to put a hold on bringing 5G antennas in here into their municipalities until the federal FCC, Federal Communications Commission, does its due diligence to get up to speed on the health effects from all of these radiations, it just seems wise that we would take some note of this, that in other municipalities that some movement is being taken to protect the citizens. Because it's coming out now that certain individuals, and they're just the beginning ones, are strongly affected when a new 5G antenna is put out in their vicinity. And it's just not a joke. I could face having my life just be ruined. And what would I do? So it just would be helpful if some serious looking at the resolution that was proposed regarding keeping a lid on the 5G antennas and not just thinking, well, it's not here now, it's not going to be for the... No, we need to prepare in advance. So that's what I wanted to say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Lucas Forbes. Donna, you're up.
Thank you, Board. At the March 13th meeting, a presentation was made concerning the presumptions around climate change, so-called, and there was also a draft resolution to withdraw the February 2018 resolution. And at that time, the Board agreed to have a public discussion of this. Last month, a request was made for the village to pass a resolution protecting the rights of people to burn wood to stay warm forever. And the board was reminded that an open discussion of the Climate Smart community program hadn't happened yet. ask when you plan to schedule that. What I'm hearing tonight is that the board won't discuss these things unless there's a motion, I presume, by a board member to pass a resolution, which then would provoke a workshop to discuss the proposed resolution. So in Kate's instance, for instance, she's very simply asking for you, our board, to discuss something that's very important to all of us, whether people realize it or not. 5G is very important. And I don't know if you've been following the news, but two communities in Massachusetts just passed those resolutions. Their cities, their towns resolved that there would be no new 5G installations until the court mandated requirement for safety studies be completed. The FCC has been under court order for over 10 years to provide safety studies, which they have not done, because they're what are called a captured agency, like the CDC, the FDA, the NIH. They are all captured regulatory agencies. So those towns resolved that, hey, we're not going to have any more 5G installations until Verizon or whoever gets those studies done. In like manner, there's some concern over climate smart agenda. And a draft resolution was provided to this board to rescind the previous resolution. So what I'm asking is for one of you to have the gumption to make a motion to consider some resolutions, and that'll provoke a public workshop. I don't know why you can't do that. I really don't understand. It's obvious that something's going on. When that draft resolution was presented to this village, immediately the newspaper jumped on it. One of the trustees got involved with somebody out of town to knock it down, and we all last month talked about all the falsehoods in that newspaper article. They know that if any village in the state of New York were to drop out of the Climate Smart Community program, it would be a big problem. The exposure that that would cause would be maybe irreparable. So again, I ask for whatever mechanism for a public forum where our elected officials will participate, I ask you to do that. Thank you.
Well, I just said that you guys could set up a public forum. We would get the whole, I'll give you 2 hours.
I want to hear each of you vote yes or no about a resolution concerning 5G. I want to hear what my elected representatives vote on 5G resolution. I want to hear what each of you have to say after informed discussion about staying in the Climate Smart Community Program. Yes or no? Why? You're talking about something different. I mean, we can go out, we can meet in the parking lot if we want to, but we're talking about representative government here. We need to have your input. We need for you to hear what our concerns are. We need to have a dialogue, and we're not having that.
All right, thank you. Michael.
Roxanne Wilkins is here. Could she speak?
All right, go ahead, Roxanne.
I really was waiting to hear what everyone else had to say, but we were speaking, bringing to the point about clean slate. It seems like bill that we would like to see Philmont sponsor because it is affecting our community on a ridiculous level generationally. When the bill, do you know about the bill?
Yes.
So for the people to know, clean slate is a bill that when somebody gets out of jail, it gives them a chance to have a second chance. The way things are now, they when they come out of jail, they can't get any public housing or public assistance, and so they have to come back and try to live a straight life with no help, even though they're living below the poverty line. And then their families get to live that life with them. And so everybody that's connected to them stays punished after they've already done their time. And so clean slate, I think clean slate is not even actually fair, but what it does is gives the person that they have to prove themselves for 7 years if they're a felon, and 3 years if for a misdemeanor after they've already done their time before they can get cleared. Still, the government, if you have to be fingerprinted or anything, all of that is still open for people to look at. But regular jobs and regular housing, they'll be able to access them and their families, and their families can come back together. But the way we have it now, the families stay ripped apart, the children stay wounded, and they don't get to live a balanced life after the person made their mistake and cleared. And so we would like to see Philmont sponsor it so that D.B. Barrett would understand that it is what's best for the people. And it gives people a chance to start to breathe a life that they're supposed to be breathing in the first place. With all the pressure that's going on as is, it's a way of us making a difference generationally. The deal also that I'm hearing is that there's an $80 billion benefit for us to consider that. And so it's like a beyond a win-win. We get to take the pressure off the families so that the children can start thinking like justice really might be real. And because to a child, if you've already paid your done your punishment, why are you still being punished? And so the way they must look at the way that our country runs doesn't make sense to them. And then we can have that $80 billion benefit when we say we can't do this and we can't do that because we don't have the money. There's an opportunity of doing something different about that, that we can actually make a flip difference. And I would like to see Philmont be the leader. I've been saying that since 2017. Philmont is a little place, and that's the same thing that they said in the Bible. What good can come out of Bethlehem? What good can come out of Philmont? A whole lot.
Well, it's been our practice not to get into the hot button issues like this. The village board does not take on the state or does not take on the federal government. You'd be better off going to the town of Clawbrook meeting and bringing your proposal to the town, because I don't think that we are going to pass a resolution or make a motion, or I don't know if a motion will be made, but I don't know if it'll pass. I mean, somebody's free to make a motion if they want to, but I'm not going to force the topic on the village. That's not our job.
I'm thinking that this is what's good for our people. We need it now. I don't understand.
It's a political hot button issue, and the Village of Philmont board is not going to get into it.
You know, it came up at the county level. They can contact their town supervisor on the county level to have that discussion. It's an item. It's an item considered under the state legislative through the Senate Assembly. Mm-hmm. So you should contact your senators and assembly with your positions. And the mayor's not saying it was discussed at this village board before, and the board did not wasn't inclined to pass anything in support of clean slate for the reasons the mayor said and some personal opinions that board members have. So there seems to be an assumption that a few audience members can force the board to announce their positions or make a resolution. That's not how it works. If the board wants to take an issue up, someone brings a motion or a resolution, and if it's seconded by another board member, then it's a topic for consideration. It's not really the other way. I don't want the takeaway from the meeting to be, oh, the board's just shutting us down and not listening to us. The way it works here is that you give them an idea, and if they want to move forward with it, they move forward with it. If they don't move forward with it, they don't move forward with it. At a certain point in time, they say, we don't regulate 5G, or we want to regulate 5G. But when you asking month after month and not getting the result, your takeaway shouldn't be, they just don't listen to me. It's that they're not taking it up as an issue because they don't agree with it. I'm not going to speak for them, but that's the process.
That would be the same as not listening in a certain way.
Well, there's 1,200 residents in the village, and there's 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 or 20 here.
I'm just correcting what you're saying, because it is not taking it up out of not interest. It just is.
But the thing is, my concern is, how do we justify justice? Because of that. It's like, it has to happen, because the damage is too great. And we can't live separate in a home and think that all of that rage won't affect us ever. But when this stuff is unfair and unfair and stays unfair, then what are people supposed to do? Go talk to somebody else that where they don't live?
I hear you, and it's being discussed, and it's a great thing. This is the start of the process, not the end. So we'll keep discussing it.
You're discussing it?
So I'm discussing with Roxanne, and I'm discussing it with the board.
Because you think it's a good thing.
We haven't heard your discussion. Apparently you're discussing it?
I've heard you guys talk the last, like, 4 months in a row. This is the first time I've heard of this. I just wanted to acknowledge that I've heard you. I've heard all of you, too, and I appreciate your side.
Simple have you been having discussions about what we said?
All right. That's enough. Michael, you
sit
want...
Sit down and shut up, Doug.
That's not what I heard.
No.
That's not what I heard either.
And I don't think it's that you don't care. I think there's more information that has to be understood.
All right. Michael's turn.
Okay, thank you. So I appreciate the discussion on clean slate. I actually also want to lend my support to clean slate legislation. And even if, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, more, there will be those discussions on amongst the board, because it is important, and it is important for Philmont. And yes, you can't necessarily affect the state law, but here, a resolution by even, you know, small Philmont could influence state legislators. And so, for that reason, I'm putting that out there that I ask for you to support the clean slate. Roxanne has already explained it. You know, I would just want to add that, you know, people who have paid their dues to society should not be permanently punished by being turned down for housing and employment because of their records. The clean slate is a fair way to reward those who have stayed out of trouble with a sealed record for housing and employment. So if you support it, even as board members, you don't want to bring it up as a resolution, okay, that's fine. But, you know, call your legislator, call Assemblywoman Dee Dee Barrett. I have her number in a little blurb here if anyone wants to take a picture.
I do believe it's on the website. I believe Deborah's got it on her website, too.
Right. And, you know, with 1 in 7 people being convicted at some point in their life, this affects a lot of people in New York, including in Philmont. So it does end up affecting locality. I do want to bring up a couple of other things. I have a question about sidewalks. And could you just give a brief status report, or is that further on in the agenda? Sidewalks and
Skip,
maybe the process for identifying which sidewalks.
Skip and Doug and Deborah are on the sidewalks. Skip's been in touch with the concrete guy, and he's coordinating with Louie. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I spoke to actually the concrete guy this morning and said that he'd rather do it sooner than later. And Skip and Skip, Doug, and Deborah are gonna pick out the worst ones, they're gonna start there, and we're gonna spend $50,000, and that's gonna be it.
Makes sense. Makes sense. One other thing I wanted to bring up, and I wanna thank you all for your patience and your responsible approach to dealing with a lot of misinformation being thrown at you week, month after month. And I'm hearing a lot of it here, whether it relates to, you know, climate change or 5G. I happen to be a public health professional. I can actually look at research, and I've looked at meta-analyses of the 5G issue, and there is no issue there from a public health standpoint. So they can say it, but the reality is it is not an issue. So I know you don't like that, but a lot of the same people will bring up vaccines as a problem. And vaccines are one of the most important public health measures we have that we've all, millions have been saved. So this goes on, and so I just want to thank you for your responsibility in addressing these things. Finally, one other thing that I forgot about, on the clean slate measure, we do have Stefan, who has some personal experience related to this, how clean slate could benefit individuals in Philmont. He is a Philmont resident. He wasn't able to sign up in time, but I would ask that he be given a moment to speak, if you would.
Could he come back next month?
But we had space for Lukey.
The legislation, yeah. Lukey was going to speak on clean slate, and he wasn't able to be here. And the legislation, the end of the session is at the end of June.
So you're proposing that we afford Lukey's time to step in.
Exactly.
All right. I've done that before. We can do that.
Thank you very much.
You have 5 minutes, whoever there he is.
Now, can you give your full name?
Full name.
Yeah, Stefan Ambrose. So I haven't prepared any big speech, but when I heard about this, I kind of touched my heart. I grew up in a poor family in Florida, and I guess I could say I had a very difficult time as a young man. I, in my early years, late teens, did get into some trouble with the law, and it has made all the difference to me in my life. That state of Florida, the state of Georgia, where I was living between those two states at the time, gave me the opportunity to have that taken off my record. Without that, I could not have gone to school. I couldn't have gotten any sort of grants for my education. I couldn't do any kind of service work, which I pretty much dedicated my life to. And I do want to say that I think that people that go through a hard time in life and are able and are given the opportunity to transform their life can take up service work and be a huge benefit to their communities. That doesn't mean that people shouldn't be given the appropriate amount of time to prove and show that they have changed their life. But having the opportunity to do that is huge. You know, I grew up for years of my young life thinking I would basically never have a chance to be a normal person. And at a certain point, I was able to change that, thank God, and that has really changed my life. And I know a lot of young people who I've worked with personally. Back in the state of Florida, I was working with youth, especially young men, through men's groups and personal development workshops. And a lot of these young people, they get a charge early in their lives, and they don't have adults to help them understand what's going on for themselves. They just think their lives are over. That's it. So I'm not, you know, we each have to take our own course in this. But I do want you to know, from someone who's lived that, and I've been able to change my life and help others change their lives, that it's not just that people don't have the opportunity, it's a lot of times these people, like, really believe that they're never going to have a chance to you know, serve on the fire department, police, become a lawyer, become a doctor, be a paralegal. I mean, so many things you just can't do. Can't be a teacher, can't work with kids. So I just want to put that out there. It's a little bit, feel a little bit vulnerable saying this is not something I speak with people about. But I think it's important because you also don't know who you're affecting with a law like this. I think most people look at me and they probably say, this guy's never been in trouble, whatever, you know? But I couldn't have done almost anything I've done in my life if my home state had at the end of my probationary period allowed me to.
I do want to add something because I worked in this county for 40 years working with families in crisis, so I'm not just saying stuff as a community member. I've done a lot of work in this, and just this past week, I got a reminder of what Stephen is talking about. We have two young people in AmeriCorps who were below the level of everything, and now they are amazing representative of what can be done with a life with an opportunity that had none. And when you, and to ignore the base part of it, to bring that back, because when you look at the disproportionate number of BIPOC people that are in jail, and half of them are, I don't know the exact numbers, the large numbers that go to jail because they don't have the resources to keep from going to jail. And so then they go to jail and they're not even guilty of what they're in there for, and then they still have to be guilty when they've done their time, and the 7 years is not good enough, and the 3 years is not good enough, that their whole family has. So then you see why the rage is so high about unfairness. Stephen had an opportunity, but Stephen is a whole different realm of person. But the opportunity, but the ability to flip the script is the same. The guy that I heard his testimony from, he was a felon. He is now the assistant director of Promised Neighborhood because he was able to get a break.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Rob?
Just ongoing projects, nothing new to report.
Jessica.
All documentation was submitted to the county for changes to the tax roll, including certification, the tax warrant, property transfers, and address changes. Any property transfers and address changes were also updated in the water sewer program. Certified letters for delinquent water sewer users will be mailed out tomorrow. We had meetings for health insurance and the village insurance policy. Tax bills will be mailed out the close of the day, May 31st. They are due by July 31st without penalty. I participated in 3 webinars, worked with the union attorneys for the contract. Oath book was updated, signatures for changes were needed. We had lots of dig safe requests. We've also been very busy with water payments, notaries, and death certificates. And the office will be closed Monday, May 29th for Memorial Day.
Toby?
We were approached by Coleman County Health Department to have Narcan boxes in our library. We have one at the moment. They also have one at Advance. It's just a box that will be on the wall in case there will be available for people to take if they feel the need for any incidents happen inside the library. It's a little box that sits on the wall. We have supplies to replenish them if they happen to get used. And they're not on the wall yet because we have a board member who's on vacation who's going to come and put them inside. We have lots of programs going on this month revolving around our pollinator pathway project. This Saturday is a volunteer day where you could come and help us plant the garden in front of the library. Tonight we had Habitat for Humanity came and did a new homeowner info session. They had 12 people attend. It was very nice. The Cottage Hills School approached us about doing a mental health presentation for teens and parents. That will be this Wednesday at 4:30. It's with Cottage Hills High School guidance counselors. Our fourth out of five James Baldwin sessions will be held this Wednesday. The last one is in June. There is another one being planned for the fall that will be around the topic of banned books. Our art show this Saturday is Maria Crespo's art, which will be an opening reception at 2. We have a stepping stone workshop for the garden that will be in front of the library. We're inviting children, whoever would like to come help decorate the stepping stones so that we can put those in the garden. Summer programs we're working on, working with the Town Park Summer Camp. We have two programs planned with them. The Firefly Watch at Summer Lake with Mud Creek on June 21st. And at 8:30 in the evening, Community Day, we will be working on two projects. We're working with the Climate Smart Community to provide a repair cafe. And also the evening before, we're going to do an interactive sidewalk. We're asking community organizations and members to help by adopting a section of the sidewalk. We have the we have sidewalk chalk and whatever will be needed to do that. We're hoping that it will involve making, you know, interactive pathways in a decorative way on the sidewalks on both sides of Main Street between Church and Maple for the next day, which will be Community Day. We have received notice that we received $1,000 from the Bank of Green County for our summer reading programs. I attended the Taconic Hills School Success Fest as a local organization on April 22nd, and I attended a Partners for Climate Action webinar on the 25th. The Columbia County Libraries Association, which we are part of, we're one of 11 libraries in Columbia County, has just finally received 501c3 status, so that way we can be working as the county libraries to receive funds for county-wide projects, and very much like the one that we have been doing for the last 3 years, which is our Museum Pass program. We've received a large grant from the Ellsworth Kelly Foundation to use the funds collectively to provide museum passes to everybody who's a resident of Columbia County. And it also provides the ability to people to access those passes from home. You print them from home so that you don't even have to come to the library or come back to return the pass. So that's been very successful. And so we're looking for more programs like that. We are trying to do a countywide big read. Unfortunately, some of the funds that we did request for from Berkshire Taconic we did not receive as a county group. We thought it was more important to give the funding to each individual library, which they have. And so we're trying to push that into fall to find some other ways of funding that program. And I will be received, at a meeting tomorrow for CLCD, which is Central Library and Collection Development, which is a committee of the library system that I participate in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Summer. Mr. Carl.
Okay, here's Julie Veronese's report for April. The facility of the center has been checked during the month. DPW will work on the door entrances as soon as time is available. Programs, Help Scouts, Wiglows and crochet classes are taking place at the center. Wood was donated by Ghent Wood Products for use in a birdhouse building project. She has the wood and will soon be cutting the pieces for the activity. Julie attended the Columbia County Economic Development meeting on April 25th with the intent of finding out how the county's opioid recovery money is being utilized. At the present time, there's a task force working on the distribution. From her research, she found that there are many avenues for the use of the funds. Some were obvious, like the distribution of naloxone, and others are embedded in the health continuum, such as prenatal care and neonatal care for addicted parents. She met via phone conference with Mayor Johnson, Building Inspector Lee Heim, Deputy Mayor Doug Cropper, and Commissioner Department of Social Services Bob Gibson. It may be possible to provide a bus from Upper Main Street in Maine to the Clark Town Park program this summer. This potential opportunity would be based on need. If anyone is aware of children who would take advantage of the bus, please email or phone Julie. This is the this is still in the research phase. And she notes that programs and presenters are always welcome. That's it, Brian.
Thank you.
Vern?
For the month, we had 16 calls for service, 129 property checks, issued 9 UTTs, 34 VT warnings. We're all set for dump day. We'll be covered for this weekend. We're all set, all covered for Memorial Day as well. And I've been working on with the folks from DCJS the new standards for hiring and reporting requirements and things like that. There's a whole new process. So we have been we've completed all that. We've been verified and we are in compliance. So we're good to go and all that. So that's been an ongoing little project that we've been doing as well.
Okay. So the only thing that I have for you is when are you going to get us trained again? It's time.
Working on it hopefully for June. For June's
workshop.
Workshop. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Summit Lake and its water course. Ms. Baker can't be here tonight, so I'll read it. The Bow Grant Committee meeting was held on the 25th, attended by myself, Bob McFarland, and Barbara, as well as Sally. Members of the sub-area one working group, David Bullweiss and Karen Schumer, were also there. It was a welcome orientation meeting to Bobby. A meeting was conducted to bring Bob up to speed on all the activities. Final draft for the RFP to hire a consultant for planning firm was reviewed and approved and published on New York State Contract Reporter. The RFP was also approved by the Department of State, and in mid-April, following the initial drafts with changes made in response to the comments. LWRP Grant Watershed Management Plan. Monthly Watershed Advisory Committee meeting was held on the 12th. Newly hired planning firm Wabella, hired to assist producing the Agawamic Creek Watershed Management Plan. Attendees also included Department of State, Barbara Segal, Chair of the Watershed, with members participating from towns of Calvert, Kent, Hillsdale, and Ostrowitz. Meeting also discussed workshop the vision and goals for the objectives for the watershed. That's it for that one. Tom?
Yeah, Climate Smart Community. We have the final version of the light bulb exchange video. That was provided by Old House Studio, and that is ready to go on the village website. And it's like a 2.5 minute video of why it's important to change out light bulb to LED. This video originally was, we discussed a fee for it, but the Old House Studio decided to make it a donation. And I want to just stress the importance of that this is their craft, this is how they make money, and they have donated their valuable time to this community.
Barry and Jerry, right?
Barry and Jerry, yeah.
And Barry and Jerry Marshall, they live on Summit Street near.
That's what I thought. Okay.
They've been community members for the last 25 years. They've done a lot. Barry was on the library board for a long time. So I think, Jessica, we should send Barry and Jerry a letter of thank you for their time, since they didn't charge us.
And that was their decision. So the video was also a part of my presentation to sort of the graduation presentation from the local champions program. And it, that presentation is entirely about Philmont. So Deborah has seen it, and she thinks it should go on the village website. I don't know if other people want to see it first before that happens, just to be sure you're okay with it. But that's out there, and there's one little thing, there was one little glitch on it, and that's being cleared up. But as soon as that's done, it will be ready to go on to the website. And it does address the issue of this misinformation that you've all been having to receive. It debunks it somewhat on a very basic level. But that, I think that's important to have that out there, considering the amount of misinformation that's coming in from the other side. The second item is the audits. So we did have the meeting about applying. We didn't do the audit for the sewage treatment plant, so we want to apply that money. It's approximately $3,300. And to change out the lighting in this building, and that's throughout the entire building, or the three main sections. And we just need the NYSERDA to agree to that, to do that. I have been, now they, their estimate was approximately $6,000 to do that work. So additional money could come in from NYSERDA. NYSERDA does have a program. If you're doing an energy saving measure, they have they do have there's small grants, but working with Leggett Electrical, who is aware of that, so we'll try and see if we get more money that way. There's also the tax incentive, which goes to businesses, which a municipality can record that amount of the tax incentive and give it to the consultant. And the consultant, and in turn, reduces his bill. So I'm speaking to Liggett about that as well, to get that all in the works for changing out the lighting in this building. there was an agreement to investigate the FlexTech program to do the audit at the sewage treatment plant. That, because of the systems in place in the plant, that takes a certain amount of expertise. So the four consultants suggested, two of them responded, and so I'm now working with them. One is Barton and Loredici, and Arcadis. So I'm working with both of them. We've been exchanging information back and forth, and hopefully I will have an estimate, at least two estimates from them for doing that audit. And again, just as a reminder, that is a 50% cost share. So NYSERDA picks up half of that bill. So while that's going on, collecting that data, we're able to use some of it. Jess has been putting it together, and thank you for that. We're able to use some of that to go towards the greenhouse gas emissions inventory. So that's another pledge element. So that in effect has started. We're still working on meeting that July 7th deadline for applying for bronze certification. So several of the members are working on getting all those documents together. A few of us met with Jan Bokert of Crawford Engineering to discuss microhydro potential in the village. We all had the idea that this could be done at the dam, and he said there are big obstacles to do it in that location. So the discussion is possibly another location. There is a water drop west of the High Falls, and that might be a location to do it. So that's still in discussion. There was an inaugural newsletter that was issued, and I believe that is on the website now. That was the efforts of Susan and Andrew to put that together. And that mainly concentrated on the visit to the microhydro facility in Galicia. And we're hoping to then get a QR code on the EV charging station, so while people are waiting to charge their cars, they can read the newsletter on their phones. So we're working on that. some of us met with Kristen Wilson concerning fundraising. We have another meeting scheduled with her. She's from RUFCO, but it's really her experience in Kingston of bringing a lot of grants to that city for infrastructure projects and a variety of other things. Then a few of us met with Crawford in Engineering to discuss composting, anaerobic digestion, and so I visited the facility that's now in Greenport. It's an aerobic digester, and that is countywide. They do have bins that they have put in different villages, and I told them, I said, why doesn't Philmont have one? And so we're working with, last name is Race, Justine.
Jolene.
Justine Race. So she said she would need to hear from the mayor about getting a bin, but we first want to get an education program so that we get sure to get the people who are tenants in the village to use these bins. Typically, they're at the transfer station. In these wealthier communities, people can drive there, but that's not going to happen in Philmont, so the bins have to be located where you can walk. So we're trying to figure out a program, how we can encourage people to do that. So there's a few things that have to happen first before you talk to we also had the Columbia County Clean Heating and Cooling Program. We're officially participating in that. The scoping document was filled out and submitted. And finally, we have a logo that was provided by Arthur King. We're almost there in selecting the final one. As soon as that's there, we'll present it to you. But he's done a great job.
Thank you.
Comprehensive plan update.
Robin's not here, so I'm going to cover this for her real quick. Monday, May 22nd will be the first comprehensive plan public meeting. So people can stop by the Village Hall from any time between 4 and 8 p.m. for their input and priorities, wherever they feel they are. Anybody can bring this up to the comprehensive plan folks who will be there. There'll be poster boards to add input, a kids area. Oh, cool. There's pizza, compliments of High Falls. That's great. So everyone's invited to come to that. There will be flyers up. Dog's going to put one up. Hopefully down with us. Rod Gun Club, I'll pull it up with the fire department. If you see it, come on down. This is your chance to have your voice heard, no matter what your topic may be. Oh, there's some up here, too. Thanks, Jess. And then there is, Mr. Mayor, did you see that Robin wrote here? She'd like us to pass a motion this evening. Did you see that in there on the third paragraph?
That's
together. Oh, we have it on there? I'm sorry, I didn't see it. My bad. Okay, that's the report. So come on down May 22nd for the company. First plan meeting, first one here. That's it.
All right. Mayor's report. Well, I haven't been working on anything glamorous. We're in the process of taking the water tower offline, as you all know. Although you were without water for a short period of time, the process is not going as bad as I expected. We have encountered many difficulties, but I have the right team working on it between Ed Harkin, Dan from Time Bond, Ray from the county, Mike, Cliff. They're getting a handle on it. The reason you were without water the other night was a computer glitch. Hard to believe. There was no main water break. There was no water main break. There was no. It was just the piece of equipment not telling the other piece of equipment to come on at the right time. It wasn't. There was something with the programming that has to be changed. So we're going to continue with this for a while. We're going to pass a motion tonight to award the bid. So I'm thinking that we've got 30 days to get this straightened out before the company mobilizes and gets in there. So there may be interruptions. Just bear with me. It's coming. The other thing that is on my not so glamorous list, Doug and I have been working since from January, probably, Doug, we started with
DPW. Keep going. Okay,
we started in January talking to the town of Clarbrook about taking our DPW duties. I believe we're just about at the final stages. So what's going to happen is we are going to abolish our DPW and the town of Clarbrook's going to take it. Which doesn't, in the grander scheme of things, nothing is going to change. Louis is still going to have two guys up there at our garage. They're going to run out of our garage. They're going to use, I don't know, they're going to buy our equipment or they'll buy our equipment in lieu of payment for however much they give us. But essentially, in the near future, Philmont's getting out of the DPW business. So.
You might want to mention we're still in the water sewer.
Yeah, we still have a water sewer department. We can't give that away, so we try.
And they're going to keep our current employees that want to stay on?
Yeah. We're down to one, or the one of them is interviewing for another job now, and you know, we hired the new guy, and so there's only really...
That's right.
Only really one to take care of, and he's gonna go. So,
okay.
And like Doug said in Julie's report, we met with DSS again. And that was a productive meeting, I thought. And most of my month has been spent on that water tank. So, that's all I have, Mr. Cropper.
Okay. Brian and I also met with the labor lawyer working on the contract situation. Deborah and I met with Tom, and where we talked about that little bit of money and decided to put the money towards the lights. So thank you, Tom. I did find out about a USDA grant for potential geothermal. Actually, Sally brought it to my attention, and I looked into that with her a little bit. It turns out that is past, but it's something that might come up in the future where geothermal could be in the village to heat some of the homes that are, you know, for affordable living. So something to just keep our eye on. We got a special meeting. There was one Brian missed. I ran that. Like Brian said, we met with Bob Gibson and Julie. We're moving along with DSS. He has done a few things that he said he was going to do, and so that's good. We're going to meet again, I think, in June with him, right, Ryan?
Yes.
And attended the workshop meeting, and Skip and I were also at the CEDC breakfast meeting with that's the one that Julie went to as well. So I'll let you talk about that, Skip. My voice is tired.
Jason?
Nothing to report, just ongoing projects.
Skip?
Just going to meetings and still getting my feet wet here. It's been two years vacant and starting to get back into it again. Working on the sidewalks. Hopefully we can get through Louis up. That's what I'm waiting for, to see how he's going to be doing the taking the old sidewalks out for us, so Jimmy can put the forms in and pour it.
Jimmy said he wanted to be there when they take the sidewalks out.
Yeah, so he can push the curtains in.
Yeah. Skip, how are you going to go about deciding who gets what the sidewalks this year? That's really tough, huh?
Well, back when I was mayor, we had promised down on lower Church Street.
Yep, I know. Yep.
Right.
That's a good spot.
Yeah. So we're going to... That's going to be one of the first ones.
Good. They need it.
We had a lady fall down on Prospect Street. There's a couple of sections there that are bad. That's going to be the next one.
Great.
So we're walking around trying to find out what's going on and when to do it. So,
great.
It figures out to be, what do you figure it was, $100 a foot? Or
$10.
$10 a foot.
Oh, okay.
So we got a lot of Each section of sidewalk is 4 foot, so.
Does that include the curb?
Yep.
Okay.
Then we have $50,000, right?
Yeah.
So we can do 500 feet.
That, yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's a lot.
500 feet's not shabby.
Yeah, that's a good.
Try to get the worst ones, right, Skip?
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
Like I said, Lower Church Street is gonna be the first one.
Yeah.
I've sent people for a long time.
Yeah, me too, feels like.
Fire department.
Total calls for the month is 10, I'm not gonna say much about that. There have been 10 calls this month, total calls for the year 52. That's it.
Correspondence, there's a list on the table, and the hard copies are in the office. Alright, here we go. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to enforce the water turnoff law and take action against delinquent water users.
Oh, sorry.
Need a second.
No second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer $8,274.04 from equipment reserve account to the general account to pay for the motor for the street sweeper.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to accept with regret the resignation of Nathaniel Drake from the Village of Philmont Library Board of Trustees, effective immediately.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Susie Miranda as a member of the Village of Philmont Library Board of Trustees with a term to expire September 30th, 2026 to fill the unexpired term of Nathaniel Drake.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Akita Jung to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a member.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Stefan Ambrose to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a member.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Congrats, Stefan.
Motion to contract with Utility Service Co. Inc. for the water storage tank rehabilitation.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to contract with LaBerge for the Smart Growth Comprehensive Plan update.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Motion to reimburse Code Enforcement Officer Lee Heim an amount of $463.04 for the purchase of the tablet for the CEO assistant and FOIL request copies.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $6,800 from the water maintenance reserve to water fund checking to pay Heim bond for the engineering and water storage tank rehabilitation.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to make emergency repairs on the wells on Crusoe Road.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the USDA AirPAC grant paperwork.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Motion to accept and approve the amendment proposal for construction services with tie-in bond for the water engineering services.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And then we have resolution number two approving the merger of the 0.087 acres of land.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Moretti.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
The last one is a motion to set a public hearing for Local Law 1 of 2023, which would enact a real property tax exemption for historic properties in the village.
Great. Motion?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The public hearing is going to be when?
Next village board meeting. What time do you want?
You want to do 6:30? Before the village board meeting?
Before the village board meeting.
Certainly.
You always start later, you can't start earlier, that's the rule.
Okay.
If you notice it for 6:30 and we have a 2-minute public hearing, then you're gonna wait till 7 to do your regular meeting.
Well, we're all here at 6:30 anyway.
That's fine.
Just make sure it gets noticed, so everybody knows.
Does that need to be a public hearing?
Yeah, I'll do a public hearing notice for you, yeah, and we'll get it on the paper, on the website. Carrier pigeon.
I'm here in new business.
I knew something.
Brian, that's Emily, you wanna tell her what happened? Or you wanna update her?
We're supposed to meet.
Yes, I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, we got another date planned, right?
We do, on the 16th.
All right, yeah.
Oh, we, on the 16th. I didn't know that it was.
That's okay, so that's why it's. Yeah, don't sweat it.
Oh.
Okay.
This was fun.
Yeah.
Unfinished, are we still under water restriction? I was asked today, and is that gonna continue on for?
August.
Okay. All summer?
So no one should be watering their gardens?
No one should be watering their gardens, and now, now that we're into that, that was part of the problem over the weekend.
Yeah, but it was.
Several people were seen, you know, out watering their lawns and flowers, and people gotta take this seriously, because it'll happen again.
I think we need to do a better job getting that word out.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I saw people watering today, and they're not the type of people that are just gonna flaunt.
Yeah.
This, they probably just didn't know, so whatever.
If it's that long, might be something to send a mailer out.
Maybe Jessica could do more posters, or.
We have, we put them at the, post office and stuff too, but I guess we could.
It's on the.
We talked about doing something else.
It's on the website.
Getting, I talked to Toby, getting her some.
Yeah, I just, I think we could probably do a little better job getting the word out.
That's what we figured, the post office was the best.
So that's getting handled.
Ideas.
Take a walk to talk to people.
Through this process, unrelated to getting the paint, getting the tank painted, we lost a well. Well number two is not in good shape. We had it blown out, fracked, and cleaned, and it failed again. It was good for a couple days, and then it failed again. So, obviously, the bottom's falling in. Mm-hmm. It's still producing 56 gallons a minute. We're gonna use it throughout this process. Doug and I are gonna meet with a, not a geologist, but somewheres along that line over on Prusa Road to see what he's got to say. There's no way that we can have one drilled before the tank gets painted. So we have two other wells. One of them is producing, I don't know, 156 gallons a minute. And the other one is not quite as good. It's like 140 something gallons a minute. My gut feeling is we've got enough water to get through the process. Just as long as nothing else happens. And we just, Doug's right, we have to do a better job of getting the word out there and make people mindful that this is serious. I mean,
and maybe not only just mention about car washing and lawn watering, but whatever people can do to
conserve.
Conserve.
Absolutely.
You know, part should be part of it.
And I say August. Tank painting is gonna start June. I'm assuming, because Dan from Time Bond said it was gonna take 30 days for him to mobilize after tonight. So it's going to take 6 weeks. So we may get it back before August, but I'm not hopeful. And we have a few glitches to work out. Once the guy from Smith Controls gets the computer thing figured out. We're not far off. We're pretty close to getting it figured out. It was offline for 2 days, and it worked fine. We just got to a high usage weekend, which was beautiful, and really it's what I wanted. I wanted to find all the flaws before we took it offline for good. So that's all I have under new business.
Sir, I wondered if y'all could just ask a few residents to go around to houses and let people know, just print something out. And
well, we're gonna have to do something. I don't brainstorm in the village office, and if that's the case, I mean, we could give them to the garbage men too, put them on a garbage truck and drop them off.
Oh, that's a good idea.
There's ways that we can get it. I just, you know, just people have to be mindful. That's all.
We can do a rain barrel thing too at the library in the next couple weeks. Yeah. Stefan, if you want to help with that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You and I will collaborate on that with Toby. Cool.
Well, I don't have anything else. You got anything, Skip?
No.
All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Boom. We're out.
No, that was a quick meeting. I'll be in touch, bud. Thank you.
Remind me.